What's trending?
Number one on what's trending right here on 96.5, the Fan, of course, Royals ALDS game two tonight. That will be over on the Fan, 6:10 a.m. Vern's on Deck show starts at 5:30 ahead of the 6:38 first pitch. Cole Reagan's on the bump against Carlos Rodon. We all know it's a best of five series. Pretty simple. Can you find a way to split? Otherwise, you're facing elimination on Wednesday out of Kauffman Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much boils down to that, and we don't want to be facing elimination for the first home playoff game in this city in more than 9 years. Next up on What's Trending, Chiefs tonight, obviously, at Arrowhead, Monday Night Football against the Saints. According to Matt Derrick over Chiefs Digest, Kareem Hunt will make the start tonight for Kansas City, despite being limited a couple of times in practice earlier or late last week due to his shoulder injury. It'll also be his first start as a member of the Kansas City Chiefs since he was cut off the team after his incident years and years and years ago. Now, obviously, Carson Steele started the game last week, but then fumbling trouble eventually led the game to being Kareem Hunt's day. Kareem Hunt will make the start for Kansas City. He'll be on the opening drive.
Totally should be. You know, other than the injury, I think it was pretty obvious after the Chargers.
Juice,
after the Chargers game, he's the number one back until Isaiah Pacheco is back, whenever that day is. Months from now, who knows, right? Kareem Hunt, I think, with his performance, and you just got to hold. I mean, it's pretty simple, Carson Steele. You got to hold on the football. Andy will give you the ball back if you make a mistake, but if all of a sudden you're fumbling twice in a three-game span, that's going to get you, especially with Kareem Hunt looking as good as he did. Next up on What's Trending, just elsewhere in baseball besides the Royals, we know earlier in the day is going to be the Tigers and the Guardians. Game two of that season, the Guardians up in that series, Guardians up 1-0.
Hammered them in game
7-0 win over the Detroit Tigers. 3:08 first pitch, that game on TBS. Then tomorrow, NLDS game threes, the Phillies and Mets. That series locked up at a game apiece. What a game that Phillies Mets game was.
Incredible.
Yesterday, back and forth, some just big time moments throughout. And then the Dodgers and Padres also tomorrow. That series tied at a game apiece. We referenced earlier some of the intensity that was in that series in that game yesterday.
Next up on What's Trending, local college football over the weekend. K-State was off. Missouri got hammered at College Station. Texas A&M taking them down 41-10. They dropped all the way down to 21 in the AP poll. Did Missouri? Texas A&M jumped up to 15. And Kansas did what they've done all season long: lose a close football game, this time to Arizona State.
Yes.
35-31. They have had a win probability of greater than 70% in all four of their last four losses, and have lost all four of those games. So 3 by UNLV, 4 to West Virginia, 11 to TCU, but it was closer than that, and then 4 to Arizona State. They're playing a lot, and close against Illinois, too. So, like, they just keep losing close football games.
1-5, can't close out games. They're getting destroyed in the fourth quarter. They're getting
to bad coaching? What the hell's their problem?
Yes.
They keep blowing it late.
Yeah, I mean, right before halftime, they're giving up points, and then at the end of the game. I mean, to me, poor game management, special teams, disasters,
they have
a bad football team. So, yeah, it's on coaching. We can acknowledge the job Lance Leipold has done to bring this program up. That is all true. Nobody's taking that away. But you could also acknowledge it's been a bad coach team in 2024. They're 1-5. I don't know if Lance Leipold is willing to do it, but they should be firing either Borland, their specialty. You know, they should be looking at Borland. They should be looking at Jeff Grimes.
Both.
Both really should be gone. I don't know if Leipold's willing to do it, but we've talked about, all three of us, the ramifications of this season from a long-term program aspect and buy-in and attendance and the net new stadium, all of that. This is disastrous type stuff for them.
They have the third most points in conference play in the Big 12, and they've lost every game.
Missouri can still get to the college football playoff, but boy, the whole, like, well, all I got to do is beat Oklahoma or Alabama, those things, just feel less likely after you get hammered by Texas A&M. That's the problem. Alabama did lose this weekend, though, so that was kind of nuts. Tennessee lost. Alabama lost to Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt! Did you see that stat that said that they had only given up 13 total points to Vanderbilt the entire time Nick Saban was the head coach at Alabama? Yeah. Total.
Vandy scored more points against Alabama than Georgia did.
College football. College football. Lastly, that is what's trending. I will say, though, don't forget, here in a couple weeks, we're going to be out in Las Vegas broadcasting live from Circa Resort in Casino, CircaLasVegas.com. That's where you can book your stay to join us. That's Chiefs Raiders weekend, if you were wondering why we're out there. Thursday and Friday, we'll be doing our show from Stadium Swim, 143-foot screen. It's incredible.
It's
six
awesome.
Pools. It's going to be end of October, so it still might be 80 or something there. Here, it's going to start to be chilly. Friday night, we're going to host a big party at the Overhang Bar. And as I told you, if you're planning on being in Vegas, one, you should stay at Circa because the whole resort is
fantastic. It's incredible.
It's also 21-plus resort, so which anybody that's been there sometimes, it's very nice. You don't, there are no kids running around or anything. It's actually really nice. If you are going to just be out there, period, maybe you already have hotel plans, that's fine. You want to come to the party because, one, you get a chance to register to win tickets to game day. You get a chance to register to win a day bed at Stadium Swim. And just for RSVPing and showing up to the party, you get a free cocktail. But you got to RSVP. So if
make
you,
it a double. I don't care.
If you want to RSVP, just send a message to me or Cody on social media, at Alex Gold, at Cody Beats App. We can send you the direct link. I think there should be a social media post coming soon. But you'll want to RSVP if you haven't already. That way you can get entered.
Whether planning on being there and haven't yet, or whether you're like, you know what, screw it, I'm going to go to Vegas in a couple of weeks because that sounds fun.
Can't wait, man.
Guys.
I'm ready.
It's going to be an awesome time. Also, October is going to fly by. Between Royals baseball, Chiefs football. I mean, it's just like a lot going on right now. It's throwing us off. I wanted the single biggest story to just be like, okay, they walked a bunch of guys. And I'm not saying it wasn't. Walked eight hitters. Middle of the order didn't come through for the Royals. There were some obvious storylines for why they lost. And yet, what was the single biggest storyline out of the game? That there was a call at second base that appeared clear and convincing, I would say, to 99.9999% of society, including the Yankees broadcasters, the Royals broadcasters, the national TV broadcasters, the studio broadcasters when they went back to A-Rod and others, fans of both teams on social, like everybody. Everyone universally agrees that Chisholm was out, except for Jazz Chisholm and maybe his mom. Outside of that, I think everyone else thinks he was out. So why is it that the biggest story of that game on Saturday was that they couldn't overturn a call that was clear and convincing to the rest of society?
Yeah, it's part of the equation. That is not the sole reason why the Royals lost. You mentioned it. We'll get into it in a second. I mean, the eight walks in a game. Serpa can't throw a strike. Salvi getting sent home from third, rounding third. I mean, there were mistakes. The Royals did it to themselves, but replay review is supposed to be there to correct mistakes on the field because we've all acknowledged there are humans making decisions. Okay, we're fine with that. Humans make mistakes. It's hard to see in live action. I'm all good with that.
Yeah,
but
that's
when
why
we go
have
to replay review and we got 30 angles in their command center in New York City, by the way, we can all see it. Bob Costas and Ron Darling even acknowledge it. And we know they're definitely not exactly Midwest guys for rooting for Kansas City by any means. They can acknowledge it. Post-game, some of the other TV crews on other networks acknowledged it. It was a pitiful non-overturn of a clear out at second base. Yeah, we can nitpick and say, if Salvi just throws it a little bit lower, then sure, but they still had him out. Even though it wasn't the best throw, Massey lays the tag down. Chisholm did not slide all that well.
No, it was kind of a weird slide.
It was a factor. It's what I was most pissed off about in the moment.
Oh, God.
No doubt.
The walks. I hate bases when it walk. Oh, my God. I hate bases.
But let's acknowledge you have eight walks. You pull out Michael Wacha to bring in Angel Zerpa, a move that worked with Lugo a couple days earlier.
But he doesn't
record. But Zerpa didn't throw a single strike, man. Or didn't get a single out. Barely could throw a strike. I think he threw like three of them.
Threw a strike.
He did. He didn't seem like it, but he did eventually throw a strike. And then Salvador Perez, it's the bottom of the second or the top of the second inning. You would have had the bases loaded with nobody out. And Vance Wilson sends Salvi home, and he was out by a mile, dude. You watch the replay. Soto already has the ball getting ready to throw before Salvi's even going around third. It was pitiful. So they made their own mistakes and yet still somehow had a chance to win. They lose 6-5.
So it wasn't the single biggest reason why they lost. I'll never say that. That's the loser's lament, right? Is the refs cost us the game.
Yeah, I hate that.
Shouldn't have called that pass interference. My bigger issue is that is a non-reviewable play. We are not talking about the same thing. The whole point of Major League Baseball review is to get the call on the field correctly, and they are terrible at it. They are worse than any other sport. Just get rid of it. They're so bad at it. just get rid of it and let us live in our Dickinger moments. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. And if you're right, you're right. And so be it. You're not allowed to review it. So I just got to count on human eyeballs. And if we watched it, I'm just telling you, if there was no replay, if it didn't exist in baseball, and we watched it, we're like, damn it. I think he was out by this much. Damn. At least you would understand why the ump made the mistake. But when they're watching the same thing as us, this is why it's unforgivable. When they're watching the same thing as us, you're like, what are you doing, man? Come on. What, by like this, what are we doing? Are you buying into any, by the way? Are you getting buying into any of the deeper conspiracy? This is, oh, so they went to New York, huh?
No.
For the old Yankees New York call. No. What do you think the odds are that the person reviewing this in New York is a Yankees fan, though? Do you want to admit that there's at least a 15, 20%, 30% chance that person's a Yankees
fan? There's a
5% chance. 5%
chance? You realize
he lives in New York when the Yankees have been the hottest team in town for 40 years? You think there's only a 5% chance that guy's a Yankees fan?
I do, because I'm going to squash the conspiracy pretty quickly here, because let's step back for a second.
Mm-hmm.
How many people have a job that are not from the same city they have the job? I worked in multiple cities.
You currently
I wasn't
have
from there.
A job in the one you're in, though.
I currently do. But
Drew doesn't is not from the city, but works here. Yes.
My point is, especially for Major League Baseball, especially since I'm assuming those in the command center used to be umpires at some point in time. No, I do not think they are all New York Yankees or Mets fans in the command center. There's not a requirement that says must have been from New York City to work at
and
the
hated
MLB.
Sports up until this moment.
I bet you there's a bunch of umps that are from Texas or from LA or from Atlanta, Georgia, or whatever that are in there. I think the bigger problem is the part that I just said, which is they're all umps. They don't want to show up the dude on the field. That's the bigger problem. Not where these guys are from,
it
but they don't want to reverse calls from their buddies. That's
the
bigger
problem.
Should
be an independent arbiter. They should just train dudes like me. Just like you train an umpire, except for I don't have to be on the field. You teach me the rules, you tell me what the rules are, and then you make me watch it. Because if I was watching that, even as any fan, it doesn't matter. He's out. He's out. Well, now, you're right. Going back to like the regular part of, I don't want this to come off as, I think that the umpires lost the Royals the game. No, I think 8 walks lost them the game. I think walking the leadoff hitter 4 times in 8 innings, because they only had to pitch 8 because the bottom of the ninth didn't get pitched, cost them the game. You can't walk the leadoff guy 4 times. I honestly think Vinny and Bobby and Salvi going like 1-for-15 or whatever in the game probably cost them the game. There are bigger reasons why. But man, this is my whole thing on, it's just my whole thing on review in general. I genuinely thought it was going to make the sport better. And in baseball, it makes it worse. Because you make me hate the call even worse somehow.
Yeah,
they just get it right.
Feeling thing,
they,
though.
They get it wrong. They get it right. They get it wrong far too often. They get it right far not often enough.
Yeah. I think that,
and it just seems like it's that's the problem. It's like, just get rid of it if it's not effective. It doesn't matter.
Wasn't the reasoning that Major League Baseball gave was they said they didn't have enough angles when they had 24, however many, like they didn't
it's
have the right
problem.
Angle, I think is what they said.
They're telling you that you can't. Because the glove doesn't bend, right? Or like they can't definitively tell you with no shadow of a doubt that the glove is physically making contact with his legs. I mean, unless you use your eyes, I guess.
I was going to say it was obvious.
In which you can see that it is touching his leg. But that's when it's that close, they obviously decided to go with the call on the field. And they're claiming, which I think is this is the part that bothers me. This is the easiest thing to say in the moment. Michael, I think it was Q, said like after the game, they were saying that if they had called him out, they'd have kept it that way too. And you're like, oh, well, that's a real easy thing to say in the moment. I'm sure you were saying that.
Yeah.
That's an easy thing to say in the moment. But the walks are the bigger problem. The bullpen kind of blew it.
Serpa couldn't get an out. There were questionable strike zone stuff. Yeah, I would argue that was on both sides, though, in the game from the strike zone.
Yeah, I just didn't think it was
Juan
that.
Soto had a few pitches that I think squeezed the zone, or widened the zone, I should say. Obviously, Michael Wacha, one pitch in particular, I think we all remember, that was right on the corner, looked like a perfect pitch, and instead, that was called a ball. So that is something that I think happens throughout a baseball game and was part of the frustration. The bigger thing was either the replay review that should have been overturned and it wasn't, or just the Royals pitchers were not good enough.
Yeah, they just didn't pitch very well.
And then
that's true.
The second inning, I just don't get it. We sometimes are overly critical about it, the aggressiveness on the base paths and things like that, but You have to know who
the
you're sending. Your job, if you're Vance Wills, you have to know that you're not sending Bobby Wood Jr. around third. You're sending Salvador Perez around third. Juan Soto already had the ball in his glove. It didn't even. It wasn't like it was this amazing
throw. It could have been a bad throw in Salvi's.
Yes, he was out by a mile. I mean, Salvi already looked over. He was standing up like, oh, shoot. Like, he was out. Wasn't even close. So that's too many mistakes in a postseason game. In a tightly contested postseason game, you lose 6-5. You cannot have not only the inability to throw strikes and walk eight batters throughout a game, you can also not be giving free outs when you could have had the bases loaded with nobody out in the second inning when you were seeing Gerrit Cole so well.
The inning matters, too, here, because what you're pointing out, the fact that it is only the second inning. It is so early in the game. You don't have to press for runs yet. You don't have to squeeze every last piece of juice out of every run in the second inning. If this is the seventh, I actually feel like we feel different about the call. Because if they're, like you're just trying to get a run, man, any way you can, right? It's late. You need them. You know you need them. You're running out on outs. Time's getting tight. You sometimes do get a more aggressive. Going back to the Alex Gordon, should they have sent him in right. The 2014 World Series, right? Late in the game, more pressure, I feel more inclined to be aggressive in those moments. But in the second inning, just let the bases be loaded and see what Gurriel, is that who's coming up? Let's see what he's got to offer. Or no, it's Tommy Pham.
No, Gurriel smartly advanced to third threw to home. That's the reason why the Royals got a run out
because
of the
Tommy
inning.
Pham
that was smart.
Sack fly.
Yeah.
And so when you go back through, I just don't feel that bad. There were a lot of reasons why they lost. I know everyone's like, calm down, Cody, it's over. It's a stupid play, and they screwed it up really badly, so I'm annoyed at it. But yeah, there's other reasons why the team lost.
In 10 minutes, we'll get right back into the Royals. Their ALDS game two tonight. Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, is going to join us. We'll ask him, of course, about that call and just how he sees this series going now. And is he as confident maybe as we are with Cole Reagans? And does he agree that Reagans kind of has to get into the seventh inning tonight with where things stand with the bullpen going up against the New York Yankees? But let's briefly talk about the AFC a little bit. We know the Chiefs will play tonight. We got to watch everybody else play. And boy, oh boy, there are two games in particular that reminded us even when, and we wonder why we say the Chiefs are inevitable and like, how do they still win when they have these injuries or whatever? It's because as much as we're frustrated at times with, maybe Andy kicks a field goal instead of goes for it and that stuff. Look at how both the Bills and the Bengals ended their games. Mm-hmm. The Bills-Texans game, for example. So the Texans and Bills are tied with
This one was egregious.
What was there? A minute left, 27 seconds left, something like that. And it's a tie game. The Bills are backed up at their own five. They can just run a couple plays, go to overtime. For whatever reason, Josh Allen and the Bills threw three straight times, stopped the clock. They wasted only 5 or 6 seconds or something like that off the clock. And so the Texans get the ball back on a punt.
They're inside the 10-yard line at this time. So no space.
The Texans get the ball essentially past midfield already off the punt. And that's why they still had to kick a 60-yard field goal from Fairbairn. But the fact that you could have just gone to overtime, obviously you got to win the coin toss, et cetera. That was ridiculous from Sean McDermott and Josh Allen and their offensive staff. They lose the game because of that. And then on the flip side, Cincinnati, they get a gift in overtime from Lamar Jackson. Just
fumbles
the ball's right in his hands on a snap and wasn't ready for it or whatever.
Looked like he was I looking at the coverage one more time or something.
Then Cincinnati is already on the plus side of the field. They decide to go ultra conservative, run the ball. McPherson misses a long field goal, then the Ravens end up getting a big run from Derrick Henry, and Tucker kicks a 20-something yard field goal, and they knock off.
I just thought it was coaching malpractice by both, but the Bills one was far more egregious.
When Josh Allen shouldn't even been in the game. You could say he shouldn't even have been in the game.
Coach's call necessarily, right? I mean,
that's the medical staff. He looked like he suffered a pretty hard hit towards the ground, was evaluated for a concussion.
I don't disagree with that, but letting Josh Allen, look, Josh Allen's a great player. They had timeouts and 30 seconds to go. They want Josh Allen to take one pass to see if he can get 25 yards down the field, 30 yards down the field, and they can give themselves a shot to kick a long game-winning field goal. Cool. One, no problem. The other two, what are you doing? And in addition to that, when you're Josh Allen, if you know you can't complete that third one or it's going to be short of the sticks, get sacked.
Take a knee.
Run.
Something, yeah.
Do anything that includes making the clock move. This is the biggest problem. And this is the separation typically between Mahomes and the other two guys and Andy Reid and the other two coaches, right? In the biggest moment yesterday, Joe Burrow was great. Man had touchdown after touchdown.
Huge numbers.
After yards. In the final drive when they needed him the most, what did he do? threw a pick.
Right after the 2-minute warning.
And Josh Allen, in the moment when they needed his ass the most, what did he do? Threw an incompletion when he should have just gone down. His head's out of the game sometimes. He loses games in the most important moment. I've seen Josh Allen come through big sometimes. I've seen Joe Burrow. I'm not saying they never have those drives. I'm just saying if you put him in that situation 10 times, seemingly they don't come through for their squad like 5 or 6 of them. And that's not the number for Mahomes. He doesn't come through his first team like once or twice. And that's what separates them from the rest of them.
In fairness, let me back up my guy. Jamar Chase said after the game, he ran a bad route. Joe threw the pick. It was a great break by Marlon Humphrey. Lamar Jackson also screwed up well. To me,
they're not 1-4. You know what I mean?
I also think there's a separation between Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, by the way.
I know, but if we're looking at how they played, if we're looking at them messing up, I think that's fair to say all of that. Regarding the coaching, we've seen Andy make the same sort of decision that Zach Taylor's made, but it hasn't bit them in the butt because
he's got Harrison Butker.
He's got Harrison Butker and the defense. They back him up. Yeah.
Don't trust your defense if they're giving up 30 points a game. That's a bad decision.
Yes, that's what. And the one play, the thing I think that makes it the most frustrating about the Bengals game is the defense was so horribly bad that when they finally made a play, as soon as the Ravens won that toss, I thought the game was over. I was like, they're going to go right down the field. They're going to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
They made a play for you. They gift wrapped it, handed you the win, and you still find a way to mess it up. That was the most frustrating thing.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
And it went from Lou Anarumo's defense stinks to Zach Taylor is, everybody says he needs to get fired today.
The Chiefs-Texan game later in the season, is that going to be for the number one seed?
It's looking more and more like that. I still think Buffalo will factor in the one seed conversation. I know they've lost a couple in
a row.
That's
a late season game. Reminder, that's a December 21st game. That's before they play three games in 10 days.
The Texans game is here. The Buffalo game is in New York. And if anything, we know about the history. The Bills will win that regular season game. Don't worry. So, I know, you know what I mean? So, I think the Bills will still factor in the number one seed conversation at some point. But what we're talking about is you find ways to win even when you make mistakes if you're a good team. I don't disagree. Anything what you said about Joe Burrow's play, Drew.
She's had a negative turnover differential in 3 of their 4 games.
Joe Burrow was statistically great yesterday.
They more points than the Vikings
But if we're going to say they got a great offense, but it's just their defense. Well, that's why they call it's a team sport. And they do not have the complimentary piece on the other side. You just acknowledge it as well. Their coach has been making too many mistakes. Their defense stinks. They're 1-4. That's what bad teams find ways to lose. Great teams find ways to win. They're not a good football team. I mean, it's just the reality of the situation. Cincinnati, all jokes aside, early in the year about the Patriots, we've now seen 5 weeks of football. They're 1-4. They are not a good football team.
Correct.
Yeah, they got a great wide receiver. Jamar Chase put up big numbers. I'm sure he's thrilled about that. They lost, though. They're 1-4.
I understand, but it's not. Maybe that's the reason why they're bad, but you look at every single game, if they don't have the pass interference penalty, they beat the Chiefs. It's nothing.
That's a lot of ifs and buts for 1-4.
I know, but to me, it's nothing. The Chiefs did nothing to win that game. The Bengals lost. The Bengals straight up lost.
I think that's almost exactly the same point that Alex made. Losing teams find great ways to lose games.
Correct, but I think that there's some of the same conversation goes in. I think it has to be mentioned that if the shoe were on the other foot and it was the Chiefs that maybe they're not 1-4, but
they won't be.
But they're in these close games where who is it that is actually helping them win the games? Is it the Chiefs winning the game or is it the other team losing the game?
I don't think you can go through 5 years of evidence of Andy Reid winning these over and over and over again and not say that it's the Chiefs winning a little bit.
All right.
I guess Spags deserves credit as Andy does,
sure,
I think,
fine.
In the conversation.
That's fine. All right, coming up next, let's get back to the Royals. They've got a divisional series game 2 tonight, right, over on the Fan AM 610. And we want to be joined by our Royals insider, Josh Vernon. I want to ask him about Cole Reagans tonight and what does he think the baseline is for him. That's next. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll get to the random question of the day. You just got, Drew, you got to stay off the text line, man. You got to stay off
not
the text line. It's not good. I see the responses.
It's not a safe place, man.
I see you responding. I don't think it's good for you.
I was telling Vern, man, I would kill for one game that the defense doesn't save Andy Reid. Andy Reid's going to make a decision where he's not conservative.
You
just
know,
one
time. I'm not trying to be an ass, but I'm not trying to be an ass at all. I really am not. And there's no other way for me to say this without maybe it sounding like that. But for 5 years, they've been in a run where they've gone to four Super Bowls and they've won three. They're going for a three-peat. You can't be like, man, for once, I hope they just don't rely on their defense. It's they've been doing this for years. It's just a terrible argument.
I want.
You mean this year's team?
I want Andy to be conservative, try to kick a field goal.
Oh, it's cost him games.
And
Andy's lost games.
I want to see it.
He's lost games where he pissed me off. That's already happened. That'll happen again, as a matter
of fact. But what a weird thing to say, though. Like, I want to.
I'm being a Bengals fan winning, for the first time on the show. Normally, I'm very realistic, and I'm. I tell you what I turn.
Now he's like the other
once.
Fan base. He's saying.
I turn into the fan base one time.
Rooting for the misery of your opponent is a normal fan.
Yeah, but like, man,
I turned into a fan one time.
It's almost on the verge of the caller from 2 weeks ago. Like, you're gonna three-peat, but you're not gonna win four of them. Like, you guys are gonna be 9-0 to start the season, but you're gonna be miserable doing it. I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter anyway. We'll get back to that, I'm sure, at some point later. Okay, we're hosting a radio show in Kansas City, Drew. Let's talk about the Royals a little bit.
I don't know
what we're talking about. Let's talk about the Royals, though. I do know we want to talk about them for a little bit. We've got our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, joining us. Vern's on deck show coming up at 5:30 over on the Fan AM this evening as Cole Reagans is set to hit the mound. Vern, do you have any liquid IV that you send over to the Bronx for one Cole Reagans to make sure these cramps don't become a problem?
No, but I'm sure the training staff has them well equipped. I second your advice to Drew, by the way. Close the text line. Don't look at it or you will be lost for the rest of the day.
Yeah, it's just not worth it, Vern.
I haven't looked. I just heard what he just said. And yeah, the text line is going to attempt to murder you via text message.
There was extra police presence in the building today. I don't know why. Maybe it was because they were worried about Drew's safety.
It's for a different reason.
I thought Drew would be in a good mood with Tito Francona signing the Reds today.
That was a really good hire.
Yeah, it was. Great hire.
I like Vern when managers go two different ways. Like, Tito left baseball for 1 year, and he's like, I can't do this. I cannot just live a normal life in which I'm not doing baseball. Ned Yost retired, and he was like canning his own tomatoes inside of 4 weeks. He was so done. By the time he quit, I'm never coming back.
You know, I think Ned's the aberration, to be quite honest with you. Look at Andy Reid, right? I mean, this is a guy that I think we all understood if he would have taken a year off, but he stuck with it. Tito Francona, he looked really good today. Looked like he lost a lot of weight. So hoping that he's in good health because he has a very talented team. Why am I talking about the Reds? I apologize.
No, you're good. Let's talk about Cole Reagans, though. Obviously, hopefully the cramps aren't a problem, but based off of the last two outings from the starting pitching, where they haven't gone five innings, and I understand we could be critical on one day the move looks great for Q, the next day the player doesn't execute, and all of a sudden people are critical of pulling Michael Wacha. Tonight, though, man, I just can't imagine if it's the fifth, sixth, or heck, maybe even the seventh inning, if Cole Reagans, for the most part, is dealing, I just don't know if you can pull Cole Reagans before you get to the sixth or seventh tonight.
Yeah, listen, Wacha to me was clearly the correct decision on Saturday. He was up in the zone pretty consistently in those final two frames. I understood letting him face Gleyber Torres, but I think even if he would have got Torres, I don't believe that he's going to see Juan Soto a third time. That to me is what I'm expecting tonight from Cole Reagans is when that Soto-Judge combo presents itself for the third time, whether that's in the fifth, sixth, or seventh inning, that Cole Reagans is your best arm, is the best matchup that he's been pitching so well. Of course, we're going to allow him to face Soto and Judge a third time. This is what we've talked about really all season. For even though the bullpen is much improved of late, Cole Reagans isn't Michael Wacha, and with all due respect to Seth Lugo's great season, Cole Reagans is even better than Seth Lugo. Look at the names that Reagans finds himself in when it comes to some of the nerdy Fangraphs WAR. He's a top five pitcher. The only pitchers that have better numbers this season than Cole Reagans are Chris Sale, Tarek Skubal, and Zach Wheeler. Skubal in his playoff debut, 6 shutout innings. Wheeler, 7 shutout innings. Chris Sale couldn't go, so he cost his team a postseason spot. And Cole Reagans, in his debut, 6 shutout innings. Tarek Skubal needs to be the reason why the Tigers win this afternoon, and Cole Reagans needs to be the reason why the Royals win later on tonight.
When you look at the lineup, is it weird that I watched Vinny, Salvi, and Bobby not have good offensive days, Vern, but I feel as good as about the offense as I have in weeks. Because if they're going to get production from not those three guys and score runs, well, then imagine if they actually get the middle of the order going in a game together.
Yeah, I'm not. The reason why I agree with you is because Vinny's there.
Yeah.
I feel better about this team with Vinny on it, but no, watching, Yuli and MJ have nice days. Michael Massey's only had good days once the calendars flip to October. You know, that's nice, and I expect more quality at-bats. We talked about this last week with Yuli Gurriel. This is a guy that, he's hitting fifth for you. You're relying on him big time. So that needs to be a constant. Michael Massey has the ability, yes, to make this a better-than-average offense, but I've seen MJ Melendez have nice days. The thing that makes him who he is inconsistency. So, listen, I'm not expecting to even see him, honestly, in the lineup today against a lefty and Carlos Rodon. No. To me, the offense is better because you have Vinny Pasquantino, but the five runs that you put up in that game back on Saturday doesn't really change how I view this group, especially when a couple of those runs were gift-wrapped by an errant throw from the Yankee shortstop. So however you felt about this offense going into this series, to me, that's how I'm still feeling.
When you look at the lineup for tonight, is it out yet, Vern? Do we know?
I haven't seen it, no.
I haven't seen it either. Do you expect that they'll maybe put Freddie Fermin in and then switch Salvi to first for that kind of thing? What do you think they'll do lineup-wise today, knowing that they got the lefty on the mound?
Yeah, Yuli's too good. I need that bat, and shoot, man, he made a pair of very nice throws at first base in that game on Saturday. I know it's first base, but I remember Lucas Duda's inability to make that throw. And let's be real, Freddie really didn't finish the season the way that we wanted. So I'm still running Vinny out there. I'm going to let Michael Massey face the lefty. I'm keeping Mike Hell in there at third. This is my opinion, but you know, corner outfielders, I'm going Renfro and right, Pham and left. Neither one of them have really good numbers off of Carlos Rodon. I'd still put Izzy out there for defensive purposes, but I wouldn't be surprised if Garrett Hampson gets the start as they play the matchup. Lefties I would pencil in right now would be Michael Massey and Vinny Pasquantino.
We're talking to Josh Vernier, Royals Insider. I want to hit on two quick things because it was certainly the talk of Royals fans on Saturday night, and you know how much we put on these things for the loss. I don't know. I don't think it's a huge chunk, but your thought on Salvador Perez getting sent from third in the second with nobody out at that point in time. And then we can get into the replay situation as well, where I think everybody believed Chisholm was out, yet they go to review, and of course, they botch the call.
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, I wasn't surprised that they didn't overturn it. Now, do I believe that he was out? Yeah, I do, but I can understand how it's not 100% clear and convincing. It's similar to the home runs that Cole Reagans gave up a few months ago, especially one to Big Christmas at Kauffman Stadium.
That still feel like I'm crazy fouled. Watching that one.
but you didn't have I didn't have a 100% certainty that was a foul ball back then. I didn't have 100% certainty that Jazz Chisholm was out. The send of Salvador Perez in the second inning. Listen, I'm normally the guy that says if you're not getting thrown out on occasion, you're not being aggressive enough. And I'm all for this team being aggressive. And I've seen Vance Wilson make that send plenty of times, but I haven't seen him make that send when it comes to Salvi with a Yuli, with a Vinny Pasquantino, with one of the more plodding runners. That to me is one of the four moments in this game that I don't want to say disappointed me, but to me, there were four moments in the game that overshadowed whatever you want to blame the umpires for or replay for, you know, a missed strike call against Bobby or a missed strike call that went against Michael Wacha in the game. To me, Sam Long can walk the nine hitter. Salvi's a future Hall of Famer. He's got to make a better throw to Massey to get Jazz Chisholm there at second base.
Yeah.
Vance Wilson can't send Salvi there in the second inning, and John Schreiber can't walk in a run there in the sixth inning. So, yeah, Vance, Salvi, you know, I'm going to, especially a guy like Salvi, when you are a future Hall of Famer, we're going to hold you to a higher standard. So, and I expect Salvi to make that throw tonight. I expect Vance Wilson to put up the stop sign tonight. I expect Sam Long to throw strikes to the first batter that he faces, especially if it's the nine hitter. That's what made it for me easy to turn the page after that tough loss back on Saturday.
Vern, do you, like some Yankees fans in my mentions over the weekend, think that Kauffman is a more hitter-friendly park than Yankee Stadium?
Well, I mean, that depends on what you're looking for. Are you a gap-to-gap guy? You're trying to hit triples? Sure, yeah, it's easier to do at Kauffman Stadium, but, you know, MJ goes 363 to the opposite field, and it looks like a blast compared to 339 from Gleyber Torres the inning before. Yeah, that's a joke in right field. Now, you know, the amount of triples that you're able to accumulate at Kauffman Stadium, some could also view as a joke.
Yeah, I guess, but man. Who's complaining about it? This team makes it too easy to trip. Maybe it's just because they got Bobby Wood Jr. Maybe he just makes the triples
look easy.
Well,
I mean, there are numbers, you know. I know. Because of triples, your OPS can go up. And, yeah, you can make it look like Kauffman Stadium's a more hitter-friendly place than Yankee Stadium. But it's baseball, Cody. You know this. I mean, you can find a number to back up really whatever silly claim you want to make.
For sure. Now, look, we thinking of numbers and math and everything, we all know it's pretty simple that if you lose tonight, you got to win out if you're the Royals. But is tonight, like, with the way the series has started, if you don't get the split in New York, do you believe the Royals have a chance to force this thing to go the distance?
Yeah, I would. You still have, you know, Reagan's going again. You get Lugo coming up in game three. Waka going opposite a beatable Garrett Cole. You know, especially if you can hit Luke Weaver, who suddenly is nasty in that Yankees bullpen. No, you wouldn't feel good. And the thing that would disappoint me with a loss tonight is the anxiety that would be brought into Kauffman Stadium by Royals fans for that game on Wednesday. I just want that place electric, expecting a win, not dreading a loss. That's what concerns me. But no, if they lose this game tonight, I've just watched this team, been around this team, listened to this team enough that that today mantra will really come in handy. And no, I wouldn't be surprised to see them rattle off three straight wins, especially with Lugo, Waka, and two of them at Kauffman Stadium.
Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, his on-deck show tonight, 5:30. That's going to be over on the Fan AM at 6:10 AM. Vern will be listening, and obviously we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, guys. Thank you.
There you go. That's Josh Vernier as the Royals get set a little bit later on tonight. 6:38, I'm sorry. 6:38.
We're your home for the Royals and Chiefs, so you can catch us both. 96.5 The Fan for the Chiefs game tonight. Pre-game starting at 4, and as you said, 5:30. Vern's pregame will start over at the Fan AM at 6:10 AM. So, perfect time. Great, great night in the city. Now, think of the double wins. We're going to be riding high tomorrow.
It's got an opportunity to be a really special night. It really does, and obviously, vibes could be very strong tomorrow morning if the Chiefs stay undefeated and if the Royals even this series up before it comes back to Kauffman. I was looking at just updated ticket pricing just to see for Wednesday, and I wonder if we'll see a shift. I mean, no matter what the result is tonight, there are repercussions for
200-something again?
With fees. Now, pick your favorite broker site, but with fees, it looks like actual seats, cheapest is $225, standing room $229 right now. Looks like there's one standing room for $209. That's just on one of the national ticket broker sites with fees, so it's a little bit less than that. So I think that based on that, the pricing's gone down a little bit in the last 24 hours. I wonder, though, if this thing gets to a point where you think there's going to be only one game, meaning that they don't split tonight, and then you still don't know if Thursday's going to happen. I wonder if you see the prices go up, because if they split tonight, then you know you can buy tickets Wednesday or Thursday. You're getting a game. If they lose tonight, there's a chance Wednesday is the last one.
But it's also
not.
Like if they lose, then you're like, am I going there to watch the?
I know.
I think either way, ticket prices stay high. I will say, I saw multiple people in the text line throughout the day ask these things, and I still think it's insane because everyone would choose the other. Like, if you knew the Chiefs were going to lose tonight, but a guaranteed a Royals, when would you take them? I'm like, yes. One Chiefs regular season loss is not sending me anywhere.
Yeah, I'm like, not into that guarantee game whatever. Stuff with that. I don't know.
But like,
I hate that. I honestly cannot stand that. Like,
because they're unrelated.
They're unrelated, but also because I know the Chiefs can win. They win a lot of football games. Why am I even in this position of like guaranteeing a loss? I'm not going to. Yes, do I want the? Are there ramifications?
You would take the trade off. You're happier tomorrow if it's Chiefs lose, Royals win, than the inverse. Royals lose, Chiefs win. You're happier tomorrow, and we all should be, if the Royals are the winners today. But they can both win tonight, and we can just be going to the week.
Yeah,
going to the week
I guess I'm greedy. I think maybe Carrington had a poll like a week or two ago. It was going into the a game, and it was like if the Royals or the Chiefs would lose two in a row, but it meant the Royals would like make the playoffs or something. I'm like, no, I'm just not doing that. We don't need to be exchanging wins.
I was like, I think both teams are winning. As of right now would be the evidence. Just need the Royals to get the win tonight.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew, over in the text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, you can always subscribe to us on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. That's where you live stream the show 4 hours a day. You can see Golden is AL14 champion.
I need some new gear, man. I need another
call you? Anybody call you Al?
My twin sister occasionally. It doesn't happen all
the time. Interesting.
Occasionally, it'll be like, hey, Al. It's very quick. She's like the only person. Mom,
but she'll occasionally hit you with an owl, huh?
Occasionally my twin sister or my mom. Other than that, it's very
rare.
That's
not the random question. I just saw AL and I thought Al, and then I was like, I wonder if anyone ever calls Alex Al.
It's happened.
Sorry, probably a moment of ADHD or something. My random question instead for you is about whether or not you'd watch this particular show with your loved one. So we all know that some shows and some channels are geared towards more female-driven audience or male-driven audiences.
Sure.
But we're both, Drew, you're married, I'm married. Alex, you might meet young lady here in the next couple of weeks. Who knows?
Next couple
World
of weeks.
Series run, you know, the excitement, the glee weeks. The glee of the bar scene, whatever. The point is, would you watch this show if your significant other wanted you to watch it with you? There is a series in development over at Bravo following the wives and girlfriends of the Kansas City Chiefs players. So pretty soon on Bravo. So you're watching that. You ran so quick.
Yeah,
you don't even need the girlfriend angle.
I'll watch.
You said you'd watch immediately.
Of course I'll watch.
Now, Brittany Mahomes and Taylor Swift already reportedly are not going to be part of it.
There's no way.
That does not surprise me by any means. But there is a series in the works right now. They're just working on the cast to be finalized, but they're working on a series over at Bravo following the wives and girlfriends of current Chiefs players. I just want to know whether you're in or not. That's my random question today.
Yeah, of course I'll watch, because it's a tie-in with the Chiefs. It'll be interesting, you know?
Sure, why not?
God, you said that so quick.
The people that are reportedly already possible are the fiance of Mecole Hardman.
Yeah, Sharia Gordon.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then I think there was one other.
Shauna Weathersby, and I can remember her relation to the team.
I mean, does it matter? You know?
Well, I'm just curious what NFL, which Chiefs player is.
She has a couple of kids with Chris Jones.
Okay. There you go.
She has two kids with Chris Jones.
Yeah, why not? Fine. This, by the way, just speaks again, just like the Hallmark movie. Thank you very much. That the Chiefs, just everybody wants a piece of the Chiefs. The Chiefs bring eyeballs.
Just no matter the thing. From the 816, my wife would divorce me if I wanted to watch that show. Everybody's relationship's a little bit different. My wife has no interest in watching shows like this. She watches all of her TV, like her main TV viewing is crime show procedurals.
Yeah.
I would say like that's a huge chunk. She doesn't watch any like trash reality. It would be, I'd probably have to convince her to watch this show rather than the other way around, if we're being honest, based on the description of this show.
The one
it'd be hard
this
not
have
to
as
watch
much
at least
drama,
a little.
Though.
I'm kind of, the whole shows are designed to have drama.
No.
That's the whole setup of these shows is
yes,
drama.
Yes, thank you. But I was going to finish my sentence and then I was going to explain. We know, the Real Housewives of like New Jersey. Yeah, there's plenty of drama. I have seen that episode or two of that show. I'm saying because this has still a tie to an NFL player in the Chiefs, I don't think we're going to see Mecole Hardman's fiance fighting with somebody on the show.
I think that might happen on the show.
Well, then that's going to be incredible.
This. Andy Reid's going to hate it. Andy Reid already hates the idea that this show might be workshopped. This is his nightmare. A Bravo show, every Bravo show is designed around the exact same thing you're talking about.
I know.
Drama, infighting, backstabbing.
I was going to say,
over-the-top party celebrate. That's the entire basis of every show.
I want one of the Cincinnati Bengals players so we can see them losing their damn minds right now. That's what I want.
I think Bravo would want, in a way, to make their show more interesting. They don't want the Chiefs to keep winning, in a way, because if they win, everything's great. But if, say, somebody drops a pick or whatever late in a game and somebody's wife is on the show, all of a sudden, one wife calls out. That's where the show gets spicy.
Do you think, Phil, that they are... Do you think the wives are constantly talking about the play of their husbands on the field? I doubt that's their everyday conversation.
I've been on the show every once in a while, though.
At some point, something's going to come up.
Personal lives,
yeah.
I don't like you because of this. And not only that, but also your husband messed up in this. And then it gets into... That's where it gets reality TV-ish.
But, like, this is where were like, if I were a player, I wouldn't want it. Like, because these shows are based on like McColl's girlfriend talking with the other girl about their sex life and stuff. You're like, oh man, it's just out on the streets. That's it. I just want to know whether or not you're in.
This did.
Sounds like everyone's in.
This did take a spin, though, on social media. People were begging for the Patriots dynasty to come back on social media. I don't know if you guys saw this morning. People are like, my God, I want the Patriots dynasty back, please.
They hate the Chiefs dynasty so much.
So much.
That's
the Hallmark
and then the
Patriots to come back.
Now I know they're desperate. They're asking for the Patriots to come back. Now I know teams are
text like
sad.
I'm very confused. No, the reported show is McColl Hardman's fiance and then Chris Jones's partner or whatever, mother of his children. Not yet. That's just to clear up that. People thought, no, two different people.
Those are reportedly two people who are already on board.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I got for you.
That's a random question of the day. Up next, though, let's get back into the offense for the Royals. Not the Chiefs right now. We'll get to the Chiefs in a second. How about the Royals and what to expect? Because the heart of the order was not productive in game one. Can they make it through without that being the case again? That's next.